And welcome to Speaking with Joy, a podcast about books, beauty, and music. So make yourself a cup of tea, sit down, and let's begin. There are few hours in life more agreeable than the hour dedicated to the ceremony known as afternoon tea. Henry James, Portrait of a Lady. I shouldn't think even millionaires could eat anything nicer than new bread and real butter and honey for tea. Dottie Smith. Well, welcome back, everyone, and I am so happy to have you on Speaking with Joy. Today is a miserably rainy day in Scotland, in a long sequence of miserably rainy days, but I am cozily bundled and burrowed inside with a cup that represents today's theme, which is tea. Now, when I started this podcast, I had the idea that I wanted it to be a little island in your week where you would have something that would fill your soul and bring you an interesting thought and kind of pull you out of the madness and the rush of our modern lives, where we're constantly barraged with information on the internet and bad news stories and just the tyranny of the busyness of life. And the reason I did this was because I felt like I needed those little islands of solitude, of loveliness, and of beauty in my life. And nothing has represented those sorts of moments of calm and peace, of meditation and an invitation into depth, than tea for me. So I thought, what better than to do a whole episode dedicated to tea? Today, I want to share my philosophy of tea with you. Lin Yutang, in The Importance of Living, writes, "There is something in the nature of tea that leads us into a world of quiet contemplation of life." As silly as it may sound, tea has been central at many moments in my life. It is the place where I've made many friendships. It's also the first way that I connected with my now doctoral advisor. And it's been something that's brought me peace, moments of contemplation, and quiet in the busyness of life. So in this episode, I'm going to share with you my own philosophy, some of my favorite quotes and passages about tea, some interesting facts about the history of tea and how it's drunk all over the world, a recipe for how I prefer tea, and some of my own personal anecdotes on tea and the role that it has played in my life. Now this week, I will confess that I spent an unreasonable amount of time making the show notes, so you really should go check out joyclarkson.com and look at the blog, which will have all the show notes for this, because I put in lots of images and quotes and recipes and histories and videos, and I even made you all a Spotify playlist for your own personal tea time. So please go check that out at joyclarkson.com. I also always love hearing your opinions and stories, so if you'd like to, please leave a review or comment on Facebook or comment on the blog. And I also love getting your emails, which I always try to respond to, but I always read them and they always encourage me to keep on doing this podcast. So thank you for that. And now, without further ado, a philosophy of tea. For many of us, tea time conjures up a very specific image. Maybe it's something like the British tea time. We think of an afternoon treat with cakes and conversation and lots of milk and sugar in our tea. But tea has a much older history than that. In fact, tea is drunk all over the world in all sorts of ways. Tea is the second most consumed beverage next to water all over the world. One of the highest tea drinking countries per capita is Ireland, clocking in at 4 cups of tea per person per day. I think I would fit in very nicely to Ireland. Now, I wanted to give you a little bit of the history of tea. And to do so, we need to pay attention to one of those kitschy phrases that means more than you think it means. If you've read Anne of Green Gables, you'll remember that there are various things that Mrs. Lynde says that she would not do for all the tea in China. The beginning of the story of tea starts in China. Tea originated in China during the Shang Dynasty, which was from 1600 BC to 1000 BC. So tea as a beverage has probably been drunk for around 3000 years. Tea was first introduced to the West through the Portuguese priests coming back from China in the 16th century. Now, Europeans really rather fancied this new beverage and so we started seeing it traded all over Europe. One of the most famous trading companies, of course, was the East India Company, which was started in 1600s, and it traded cotton, silk, and tea most famously, and quickly became responsible for 50% of what we know of the world's trade. Now, that is a complex history which I cannot entirely get into, but suffice it to say that tea has a much older origin than we might think it does, and that it started in the East and spread to the West, much to my thankfulness. Now that we know a little bit of the history of tea, let's look to what tea actually is. Now, to tell you more about tea, I've enlisted the help of my friend Colin, who's something of a tea expert. Colin has done tea classes, and I thought that I would give you a little insight into what he showed us about the Chinese tradition before I tell you about my favorite ways to make tea, which are rather unabashedly British. This is what Colin writes. There are 6 different varieties of tea, all of which come from the same plant. There's white, green, yellow, oolong, which means black dragon, black, which the Chinese call red, and pu'er, or however you pronounce that, which is what the Chinese call black tea. The main differences in these different teas is the different ways the leaves are prepared and oxidized, which changes the flavor. Now in China, they drink tea much differently than we might hear in the West. They use a lot more leaves and much less water, and brew it for only 15 to 30 seconds. This way, each tea can be infused multiple times, with the character of the tea changing slightly from infusion to infusion. Now comes my favorite part. Colin writes, there is a Chinese tea ceremony. There's also a Japanese tea ceremony, which is very formal and ritualized. The Chinese tea ceremony is much more free-flowing and casual. Now, in my blog, you can see some pictures that Colin sent me of the various things that are involved in a Chinese tea ceremony, which you have things like a little dish display for all of the different teas, a spoon for taking the tea from the tray, a lidded dish, a gawain, which is what it's called, a tea needle to remove the wet leaves, all these kind of special things that go into the experience of making tea. Now this brings me to my personal philosophy of tea, which mainly rests on 2 points. First, on the ritual of tea, and secondly, on the communality of tea. Now, whether it is in China where you're infusing it 20 times for a different taste, or whether it's in drinking yerba mate in Argentina out of a gourd with a special straw, or maybe it's in England having your afternoon tea time with scones and cream and jam, there's always associated with tea this kind of sense of ritual. Making tea can almost be like a little liturgy. For an example, let me tell you how I make tea. Now, I turn on the teapot, get it to boiling. I put a little bit of boiling water in my bone china mug and dish it around so that I will have the mug be warmed and it won't steal any of the heat from the boiling water. I put in a bag of Yorkshire Gold tea, or Yorkshire Red, depending on the day, and then I fill it about 2/3 of the way up so that it'll be a good strong cup of tea. I put in my little bit of sugar, I stir it around, and a little bit of milk. I light a candle, I put on some music, and I take that first sip. Now, often when I make tea, I'm making it to work, but there's something about that little ritual of the way that I make it, having that first sip where there's no distractions, that brings this kind of moment of calm and beauty into my day. And that, I think, is the beauty of tea. In our lives that are so often characterized by busyness and demands, we have these moments that tea creates for us of calm, of ritual, of things that we know we can do that are ordered and beautiful and that give life to the soul. I want to read you this quote that I think sort of defines that for us. Muriel Barbery in The Elegance of the Hedgehog writes this: "When tea becomes ritual, it takes its place at the heart of our ability to see greatness in small things. Where is beauty to be found? In great things that, like everything else, are doomed to die, or in small things that aspire to nothing and yet know how to set a jewel of infinity in a single moment." That is the heart of the ritual of tea to me. When we feel kind of out of control of life and search for meaning in moments, there's this little significance of this small ritual that can bring peace and quiet. One of the things I love about tea is that it's not an overwhelming ritual. You can have your tea in 10 minutes, but it creates that little space of quiet that you might not otherwise have had. But tea is not only a ritual, it also is something that we do communally. In my most busy times of life, it's hard to fit in being able to have community and time with friends, but the less time with friends that I have, the more crazy I become. The solution to this, or at least the partial solution I have found, is tea time, because everyone always has 15 minutes for a cup of tea. I learned this trick particularly when I was a resident advisor in my undergraduate years. I had 56 girls on my floor, I was a full-time debater, and I was taking as many credits as I could. It was hard to find moments, but my way that I would connect with the girls on my floor is that I would make them a cup of tea. They'd come over and knock on my door. I would let them choose from my kind of selection of mugs so they could have their own personal one. And we'd make tea and sit down and drink it. And in doing that, it was only a space of 15 minutes, so it wasn't endless, it wasn't exhausting, but it created this little space where we had time to be together that it was kind of within the boundaries of the kind of necessities of my life. But it was also deeply personal. There's something special about having your very own mug that you get to pick, having someone fix you something like tea and put out a biscuit to enjoy. There's something that kind of attends to us personally. The act of making someone tea is an act of kindness, and I learned this from mentors who came before me. One of my mentors in high school used to say to me that kindness is showing someone else their worth. So in making someone tea, you get to look them in the eye and say, you are worth quiet. You're worth this moment. It always reminds me of, there's a verse in the Gospels where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And there's something so intimate and important about feeling like we are worth being prepared for, especially in our world where things are so often kind of rushed and hurried, and where we often feel like we are allocated to, you know, a number rather than a person. There's something about having someone prepare you a cup of tea, sit down with you, and look in your eye that kind of bucks against the impersonal and overwhelmingly busy strictures of our ordinary life. So those are the two elements of my own personal philosophy of tea. First is that in the ritual and the way that we create it, we kind of get to step out of the rush and the urgency of life and have this moment of quiet, of contemplation, and of meditation. And then second, that it invites us into this special kind of communality where we can share souls with people in a reasonable amount of time that can fit into our busy lives, but in a way that prepares for them, looks them in the eye, and says that you're worth not only time, but also preparation. Now, the funny thing about tea as well is that I have had some of my most significant moments over tea. So as many of you know, I'm doing a PhD in Scotland, and the first way that I actually met my advisor was through tea. Now, when I was a young, bright-eyed, and bushy-tailed master's student, by which I mean last year, I went to my first seminar, and I saw my now advisor, but at that point I didn't know him at all. And he walked up to me and he said, you're Joy, aren't you? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, well, I have something for you. Actually, it's for everybody, but it's for you. And so I said, oh my goodness, you know, I was thinking, I've never met this person. I had stars in my eyes because, you know, I knew how much of the program that he ran. And anyway, so he said, well, Joy, I read your bio online, because we had to write bios for our master's program. He said, and you got something wrong. And I thought, I got something wrong on my own bio? I said, yes, you know, you said that Yorkshire Gold tea was the very best in the world, but actually it's Yorkshire Red. And so he'd gotten this box of Yorkshire Red tea, which then we had in the seminar room for the rest of that year, and we all drank out of. So at funny moments throughout the rest of the year, we would kind of go back to this little funny disagreement about whether it was Yorkshire Red or Yorkshire Gold. And at one point I sent him this funny YouTube video that I found was published by the Yorkshire Tea Company called Blessed Are the Tea Makers. And that was kind of my first introduction to my advisor, who is now a great help and a good friend. And so tea had that introduction for me. As a little girl, I remember that being the youngest of four children and my mother being a busy woman, she always kind of made time for me with tea. She would make me what we call cambric tea when I was a little girl, which cambric is like where you do about a third of tea and then about two thirds of sugar or milk. And I remember that it was, you know, delicious and sweet. And she would sit and have just me and mommy times together where she would talk with me and ask me questions and listen to my life. And so I always kind of associated that with that sense of being cared for and looked at and noticed. And of course, I would be remiss not to say that if I have written anything of value, and the fact that I survived grad school is owed greatly to the sustaining power of Yorkshire tea. I find myself in absolute agreement with C.S. Lewis, who wrote that you could never get a cup of tea large enough or a book long enough to suit me. Now, I want to end today by reading you some further tea testimonials. I asked my Twitter following what some of their favorite memories and associations with tea were, and their stories were absolutely delightful and kind of testified to that fact that tea both represents that ritual that brings us calm and peace, and also that sense of communality and of relationship. So let me read you what they said. Margaret Ballantyne writes, "Tea memory, my grandmother waking me up very early on my first communion day with my pink mug of tea and sitting on the edge of my bed while I drank. Going Blonzo writes of iced tea. She says, my mom would always make peach iced tea for my dad when he did yard work. So the smell evokes strong memories of cut grass and clean sweat and the sound of locust buzzing. Noelle Gerard notes that her family had some friendly family competition that was recognized in tea. She says, my mom grew up in Yorkshire in World War II and my dad in London. Because of rationing, my mom learned to drink tea with no sugar, whereas my dad always had sugar for his tea growing up. My mom still thinks that this is yet more proof that Northerners are tougher." Dozens of people responded to the tweet talking about how tea has the both calming and energizing effect on them as they have the little ritual throughout the day. Some people wrote about how they associate it with family members. One woman said she drank it with her grandmother every morning and every evening as a child growing up. It was absolutely delightful to read everyone's personal descriptions of their favorite tea and some of their favorite memories. And it confirmed in me my already strong conviction that tea time creates a moment of humane life in a world that isn't always humane. In a world that's full of rush and of urgency, where we're often known as the number that we have in line rather than our own name, tea time can create a moment of calm, of contemplation, and maybe even of community. Now, it's just started snowing outside, which I think is a sign that it's time for me to go make another cup of tea. But I hope that this podcast has encouraged you to put the kettle on and invite a friend over. And while you're waiting for the tea to steep, I quite encourage you to go look at joyclarkson.com and check out the show notes for this episode, where I have tea tidbits and tea facts, beautiful paintings, quotes, my own recipe for the perfect cup of tea, and even a Spotify playlist for your tea time. I wish you all hot tea, warm biscuits, and beautiful weeks. I'll talk to you next time.